Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, January 28th, and coming up in today's episode, Congress versus Sindhia family over royal privilege remark. As Delhi government doubles down on water poisoning allegations against Haryana, Congress questions legal action against Aam Aadmi Party. Supreme Court questions if a person born in Muslim family must follow Sharia or can opt for secular laws. And DeepSeek AI sends Nvidia shares crashing. DeepSeek tightens security amid massive attack. Congress leader Pawan Kheda has strongly hit back at Union Minister Jyotiraditya Sindhia amid the war of words over royal family's privilege. Mr. Kheda said, and I quote, "If the 26th Amendment hadn't been passed, the Gwalior royal family would still be receiving crores of rupees from the Indian government tax-free, just like they did until 1971, unquote. He also pointed out that just because a few royal families did some good things, it does not erase the wrongdoings of others. Mr. Kheda mentioned that some royals, like those from the Sindhia family, had even sided with the British during the 1857 revolt. He added, quote, "History will never forget their betrayal," unquote. For background, leader of the opposition and Congress leader Rahul Gandhi, while addressing the Jai Bapu Jai Bhim Jai Samvidhan rally in Madhya Pradesh's Mau this week, said, and I quote, "Remember before independence and before the constitution, the poor in this country had no rights, the Dalit had no rights, the backward classes had no rights, the tribals had no rights. Only Rajas and Maharajas had rights. The independence brought rights, you got land and land rights," unquote. Agitated by these comments, Union Minister Jyotiraditya Sindhia and his cousin BJP MP Dushyant Singh hit out at the leader of the opposition. Coming to the defence of royal families, Mr. Sindhia called Rahul Gandhi's comments ignorant and said they ignored contributions of the royal families to social justice. Mr. Sindhia, who was with Congress previously, is a member of the erstwhile royal family of Gwalior. He said the royal families had financially supported Dr. B.R. Ambedkar's education and Chhatrapati Shahuji Maharaj of Kolhapur had introduced a 50% reservation for backward classes in 1902. Five-time MP Dushyant Singh, whose mother and BJP veteran Vasundhara Raje is Jyotiraditya Sindhia's aunt, said, and I quote, "These families played pivotal roles in shaping India's progress towards equality and justice. Dismissing their efforts not only disrespects their legacy, but also exposes Rahul's habit of making baseless comments for political mileage. Instead of undermining history, he should focus on substantive solutions to current issues," unquote. And now after that back and forth, Mr. Kheda has responded on behalf of Congress once more. He also quoted a poem by Shubhadra Kumari Chauhan that criticized the Sindhias for their ties to the British in pre-independence India, and then he referenced a speech by former Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru made in 1947. Nehru had said, "It was wrong for anyone to claim that they had the right to rule by God-given privilege." Mr. Kheda argued that Mr. Sindhia's remark showed ignorance of India's history and the struggle for equality. The debate between Congress and BJP over these historical issues has reignited old tensions, both accusing each other of misrepresenting history for political gain. The political storm over the water supply to Delhi has intensified, with the Aam Aadmi Party government accusing Haryana of water terrorism and taking the matter to the Election Commission, and the Haryana government hitting back, ridiculing the charges. And now, Congress has also joined the fray, accusing former Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal of lying and questioning why no action has been taken against him by the Haryana police. Congress leader Sandeep Dixit expressed surprise over the lack of a legal response by Haryana police to Mr. Kejriwal's comments. With Delhi elections just around the corner, the dispute over Yamuna's polluted waters has become a significant issue in the run-up to voting on February 5th. Delhi Chief Minister Atishi has doubled down on the charges that the water from Yamuna River, which supplies Delhi, is dangerously contaminated with ammonia, making it undrinkable and posing a serious health risk to city's residents. In a statement this morning, Atishi warned that the ammonia levels in the Yamuna are 6 times higher than normal at the point where it enters Delhi from Haryana, making it impossible to treat. Quote, "The ammonia levels are 700% above the treatable limit. This water cannot be used, otherwise it will risk the lives of Delhi's people, unquote. She also wrote a letter to the Chief Election Commissioner or CEC requesting immediate intervention, claiming that the water contamination is a deliberate act aimed at influencing the upcoming Delhi elections. Echoing the words of Aam Aadmi Party Supremo Mr. Kejriwal, Atishi has referred to this act as water terrorism, accusing Haryana of dumping untreated sewage and industrial waste into the Yamuna. She warned that this could lead to serious public health issues like kidney damage and respiratory problems. Quote, "This is not negligence, this is a deliberate attempt to sabotage free and fair elections," unquote, she added, alleging that the Bharatiya Janata Party's fear of losing the February 5th elections could be a reason behind this action. Arvind Kejriwal had initiated this blame game and called the situation dirty politics. He alleged Haryana was deliberately poisoning waters coming into Delhi. He accused the Bharatiya Janata Party of attempting to keep Delhi's citizens thirsty to further their political agenda. Kejriwal promised to return as chief minister if Aam Aadmi Party wins the election, emphasizing that the contaminated water could not be treated, forcing a reduction in the city's water supply. However, Haryana has strongly denied these allegations. Haryana Chief Minister Naib Singh Saini demanded that Mr. Kejriwal apologize for what he called blatantly false claims or face a defamation lawsuit. Quote, "Kejriwal should immediately apologize to the people of Haryana and Delhi. If not, we will file a defamation case," unquote. Haryana Minister Mahipal Dhanda called the accusations unsubstantiated and accused AAP of using the issue to further its political agenda. If a person is an atheist or does not believe in the gods of their family, are they still under the laws governing their religious system? A non-believer Muslim woman demands that her legacy and inheritance should be governed by India's Succession Act and not the Muslim personal law Sharia. Subsequently, the Supreme Court has raised a question regarding personal laws and secular laws, asking the centre whether a person born in a Muslim family must follow Sharia law in matters of property, or if they can opt for secular laws like the Indian Succession Act. The court has given the centre 4 weeks to respond, with the next hearing scheduled for May 5th. The case was filed by Safia PM, a woman from Kerala who wants to leave her property to her daughter. Safia's son, who has autism, relies on her daughter for care. Under the Sharia law, a son inherits twice the share of a daughter. Safia argues that if her son were to pass away, her daughter would only get 1/3 of the property and the rest would go to relatives. Since Safia and her husband are not practicing Muslims, she is asking the court to allow her to distribute her property according to the Indian Succession Act, which currently does not apply to Muslims. Quote, "I want to leave my property to my daughter, who has taken care of her brother. Under Sharia, this would not be possible, and I'm seeking a secular option to decide on how my property is divided," she says in her petition. The court's questioning is significant because it brings up the broader debate surrounding the Uniform Civil Code, which the BJP has been advocating for. The UCC aims to replace religious personal laws with one set of laws for all citizens, regardless of their religion. While criminal laws are common across India, personal laws related to inheritance, adoption, and succession differ based on community practices. Critics of UCC argue that it could undermine religious freedoms and erode India's diversity. Solicitor General Tushar Mehta, speaking in the court, described the case as very interesting, pointing out the challenges of reconciling personal laws with secular legal frameworks. Uttarakhand, a BJP-led state, recently became the first state in India to implement a UCC, with Chief Minister Pushkar Singh Dhami calling it a historic move. "The UCC is a constitutional step to end legal discrimination," he said, adding that the law is designed to ensure equal rights for all citizens, irrespective of their caste, religion and gender. However, it was met with widespread criticism by the opposition across states, such as AIMIM's Asaduddin Owaisi asking, "It can't be called UCC when you are giving exceptions to Hindu Marriage Act, Hindu Succession Act and also won't implement on tribals. How is this Uniform Civil Code? You are only stopping weddings and divorces of Muslims. You talk about the Uniform Civil Code, but if someone wants to convert from Hinduism to some other religion, then the person has to get permission. They are bringing this bill to ruin Waqf and loots its properties. Like there was a protest against CEA, there will be a protest are what this too, unquote. Breaking from breaking news, good news, UK office goers. 200 companies in UK have officially adopted a four-day work week with no pay cuts. These companies, spanning industries like marketing, tech, and charities, employ over 5,000 people and are proving that less can be more. Advocates of the shorter work week argue that the old 9-to-5, 5-day schedule is outdated. Joe Ryle from the 4-Day Work Week Foundation explains, and I quote, "We are long overdue for an update. A 4-day week gives people 50% more free time, helping them live happier and more fulfilling lives," unquote. The 4-day work week is a win-win for both employees and employers, boosting productivity while attracting and retaining talent. London-based firms are leading the charge, with the more companies joining the movement every day. With 78% of young people in UK supporting the shift, could the 4-day work week become the norm? The future of work is looking brighter. Now, back to news. Chinese startup DeepSeek made headlines on Monday, announcing it would temporarily limit registrations due to a cyber attack that followed the sudden rise in popularity of its AI assistant. The company also faced outages on its website after AI assistant became the top-rated free app on Apple's App Store in the United States. The startup resolved issues related to its API and user login problems. Though the outages were the longest the company has faced in the past 90 days. DeepSeek launched its AI assistant last week, boasting a product that uses less data. Its newest model of AI assistant last week, boasting a product that uses less data and costs a fraction of what other major players charge. The assistant powered by DeepSeek V3 model has gained widespread attention, with the company claiming it outperforms many open source models and competes with some of the most advanced closed-sourced models globally. Since its release on January 10th, it has quickly become a favorite among US users, according to app data research firm Sensor Tower. The surge in popularity marks a significant milestone for DeepSeek, highlighting how the company has impressed Silicon Valley and even challenged the long-standing view of US dominance in AI. The rise of AI also comes amid ongoing tensions over US export controls on China's access to advanced AI technology and chips, as US plans to lay higher tariffs on semiconductors. These controls aim to prevent Chinese companies from using cutting-edge chips like those from NVIDIA to train AI models. Speaking of NVIDIA, the company lost nearly $600 billion in market value after the release of model R1. However, DeepSeek researchers have made waves last month when they claimed that their DeepSeek V3 model was trained using NVIDIA's H800 chips at a cost of under $6 million. While this claim has been disputed, it raised questions about the effectiveness of US export controls, especially since the chips used by DeepSeek are less powerful than those targeted by US restrictions. Despite its newfound fame, DeepSeek remains an enigma. Founded in 2023 in Hangzhou, the company is a relative newcomer in the AI space, joining a growing list of Chinese tech companies releasing their own AI models. However, DeepSeek's success in the US market has set it apart. It's the first Chinese AI firm to receive praise from US tech experts, including NVIDIA, for matching or even surpassing the performance of leading US models. As DeepSeek continues to grow, its impact on the global AI landscape is becoming increasingly clear, raising questions about the future of US tech dominance and effectiveness of export restrictions on cutting-edge technology. That's all for today. You will listen to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anditi, signing off.